This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com.
Hey guys, it's Kyle. Today on 10 Questions, Jim Belushi. Guy's been in Hollywood 40 years. He's got unbelievable Arnold Schwarzenegger stories, Tupac stories, thoughts on the Bears, on the Cubs, an amazing man who did this with a cigar and a dog. One of my favorite episodes we've ever done. Jim Belushi, it's all yours. Bruce Buffer, let's do it.
This podcast is scheduled for 10 questions. Fighting out of New York, standing at 5 feet 11 inches tall, and wearing the red, white, and blue trunks, presenting Kyle Pratt.
Here we go. 10 questions. You know it. You love it. We do not have conversations here. We have competitions. We don't have guests. We have contestants. Every single person leaves with a score. It could be zero, it could be one, it could be 10. That is up to them because there is 10 questions like the show states. Somehow having to do with the contestant's life, this guy has had an amazing life. But before we get him in here, I want to give him some context. This Chicago suburb native should hear a few of the prior contestants and their scores to see what he's up against. Let's do a little roll call for today's contestant.
Hi, I'm Paul Rudd, and I got a 7 out of 10.
Hello, I'm Brett Favre, and I got 7 out of 10.
I'm Aaron Rodgers, and I got 6 out of 10.
All right, a lot of Packers in there. Let's get this guy in here. Here's what you need to know about today's contestant. He is what's referred to as an Illinois alpha male. He does enjoy going skinny dipping. He's really good at the speed bag. He is an actor, dancer, singer, farmer, and the star of Growing Belushi on Discovery Season 2, January 19th at 10 p.m. I am so excited to talk to this guy, Mr. Jim Belushi. Welcome to 10 Questions.
Hey.
Hey.
Nice to be here.
Oh, it's great to see you. Jim, we've had Matthew McConaughey had whiskey. Viggo Mortensen rolled a cigarette. We have never had a cigar contestant. You look beautiful.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it's the beautiful river here, the Rogue River in Oregon.
Is that the very river that you've gone swimming in, Jim, with no clothes?
That's the spot right there, right there. That's where I dive in, man. I walk down these little steps, then walk down. I take my dog with me.
Oh, yeah.
Go down, and there it is.
God, you have a hell of a life, and we want to get into this and everything you're doing now. Speaking of diving in, Jim, this is going to be a little different. Like I said, I got 10 questions for you. They're going to seem strange and eccentric, and I promise you, they somehow connect to your life and your career. Are you ready to go?
I'm ready to go, man. I want to beat every Packer on your show.
All right, before we start, Jim, you do have one lifeline. If a question is a little unusual or you got no clue, our lifeline here is called Ask a Millennial. We have a real millennial standing by in another window, and he will come in and offer his youthful perspective, all right?
Got it.
All right, here we go. 10
and
questions.
Ask a millennial politely.
Yeah. Sure.
I mean, that's what it should be called. Ask a millennial politely.
ask a millennial politely so they may not be disturbed in their safe space. Jim, we're off and running. He's playing fetch and puffing. Let's do it. 10 questions for Jim Belushi. Question number one, Jim, your category is Academy Awards. Academy Awards, all right? Leonardo DiCaprio won the Oscar a handful of years back for a movie called The Revenant. Jim, in The Revenant, what animal does Leonardo DiCaprio fight? What did he fight? He's in the woods. He fights an animal. It's very, very ugly.
It was a bear.
He says a bear. He says bear. I'm going to take bear. Is Jim Belushi one for one? You better believe it. He fights a grizzly bear, Jim.
Yeah.
You know what's funny? We're meeting right now, both under Chicago suburbs. We're having this conversation on Monday. Today of all days, just two Bear fans getting together. And today the Chicago Bears fired their coach. They fired their GM. Never mind the headlines, Jim. Just tell me, what is it like? What is the identity of a Bears fan as far as you're concerned?
Well, I'm a little difficult. I'm very sensitive. There was a period of 4 years there that I didn't even watch the Bears because I was getting too upset, and it was causing kind of a problem within the family. People would disappear from the house when the Bears were on. I thought my wife was a sports fan, but no, she was just a fan of when the Bears were on. Time to get the children to go visit the mother-in-law. I get very, I think I do all my acting out during those games. It's hard on my soul. It's hard on my body. Naps, all kinds of things happen. It's very difficult for me. I did not watch the last two games. That's how upset I've been about this season. And this firing is just fine with me.
Mm-hmm. I think you speak for a lot of Bears when you say it's fine with you. I'm fascinated, Jim, because we all have that period where we just say, I just can't do it anymore. I can't watch.
I just, you know, how many times did they go into the third quarter leading and then lose? All right, don't get me going. Just don't. I'm in Oregon right
now. I know. You're right. Indulge
I
me one detail.
I'm here to settle down for the goddamn season.
I know. And if you're just listening and not watching, you should see Jim looks so beautiful and the background is so serene. I want to push you for one detail, Jim. That period where you could no longer watch, who was the head coach of that period? Was it Wanstead or am I off?
Wanstead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
90s. Yeah. Tough.
It was a long period. It's like, hey, man, you want to play fantasy football? I don't want to play any football. Hey, you know, you want to get together and watch Monday Night Football? I don't watch football.
Yeah, can't do it. I'm out. There are good times, though, too, Jim. I'm looking up, you know, in the 85 thing, when they were superstars and rock stars, that was around your Saturday Night Live era. You were just about to do About Last Night. Do you have memories of the 85 Bears personally?
Well, yeah. I mean, during that time, I saw every home game. My wife at the time, her grandfather was one of the guys who built Soldier Field. So they had perfect seats on the 50-yard line, and it was two seats. And then two seats were full and four seats were empty. And the two seats was Gale Sayers. Was it Gale Sayers? Yeah. So it was the best seats in the house. And that was the most beautiful season. And I went to the game in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And when they won, I turned to my wife and I said, it's going to be a good year. And that was the year About Last Night came out and I became a movie star and I moved to California. And when the Bears win the Super Bowl, I do well. We all do well.
We really do. January 1986, New Orleans, and then you go to LA. It's beautiful. You know what else is beautiful, Jim? You're one for one. Question number two. Let's get two for two. Let's do this thing. Your category is very simple. Chicago Cubs. Here you go. Jim, what Chicago Cub great was known as the Hawk?
The Hawk.
The Hawk. That was his nickname. Great player. He's in the Hall of Fame now. Excellent player. Certainly around that time. Who'd you say? same era as Ryan Sandberg. Ryan Sandberg was Rhino. Who was the Hawk? Some of those same teams. I don't think the Millennial Lifeline would help because I don't think he was born then. No? You want to take a shot?
Well, the same time as Ryan Sandberg.
Yeah.
It wasn't the King of Kingmen. It was...
You're going to kick yourself because I know you know this guy. The correct answer for the Hawk was right fielder Andre Dawson.
Oh, Dawson!
How do you feel, bud?
I might turn off the next 8 questions. That's how I'm set.
Have I now become your Dave Wanstead? You're going to turn me off?
What are you doing to me, man? What are you doing?
It was Andre Dawson. You're 1 for 2. That's fine. Let's talk Cubs, Jim. I know you said once that you could die happy because the Bears and Cubs both won it all. Is that true?
Yeah. You know, my uncle Dino was, you know, the biggest Cubs fan ever. And he had every single game on WGN, always watching. And he was dying that year. He couldn't quite make the World Series, and he passed. And right before it, he goes, "Oh, that's okay. They're gonna choke." And I go, "Uncle Dean, I don't think so. I think they go all the way." "No, they're gonna choke." And he passed away, and I feel bad because in his lifetime, he never saw the Cubs win. Mm-hmm. Actually, Ricketts told me a story that he used to go and, you know, in the stands and walk around and meet the people, the fans. And he said, you know, the number one question that I get is it going to happen in my lifetime?
Yeah.
So, and he goes, yes, it will. Yes, it will. So yeah, they won. The Bears won. I was at both of them. I feel good. I was at the Blackhawks. Mm-hmm. I was at the Bulls, you know, it's for Chicago sports fan, you know, I've been very fortunate to be graced with the spirit of those wins.
No doubt. It really is awesome. I got to see the same things. I went to one of those World Series games. They got down 3-1 in that series and they came back. It was just only the Cubs could do it that way. Jim, this is going to end well for you too. I promise this little game, this little World Series we have going on here is going to end well. I've put a lot of thought into these questions. Question number 3, Mr. Belushi. We're talking to him. He's the star of Growing Belushi. And speaking of that, all right, Jim, here we go. Your category for number 3 is sitcom theme songs, all right? We're going to go back to, again, the 1980s. Very, very popular primetime sitcom, family situation, all that type of thing. I'm going to play you the theme song. You need to tell me the name of the song, of the show, rather. Jim Belushi, name this sitcom theme song.
As long as we keep on.
What do you think?
I never watched that one.
Oh, no. This was a big hit. I'm sure you watched it.
I think that was during my LSD days. I don't know.
That's what it was. Wow. Okay.
Family.
Yeah. It's a family with the dad and the mom and a few kids, and it ran for probably...
Big Fox show? No.
That was Family Ties. You're on the right track.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I didn't know I was pulling
for a sitcom for 8 years, man. By the way, I wrote the theme song for my show. I know
is
about
that true?
And the problem was back then they had to do a theme song that told the story. And when, by the time I did, it was only 11 seconds.
That's true.
And I know it's not Laverne and Shirley. And I know it's not Mork and Me. And I know it's not...
Remember, it has something to do with you. Specifically, the name of this show somehow directly relates to what you're doing right now. That's why I chose it. I didn't know it came from the tripping Belushi phase. What was that, Jim?
Growing Pains?
Could it be Growing Pains? Jim, we did it! Yeah! It's Growing Pains. It's what you have sometimes.
You helped me. You helped me.
I helped you a ton.
Chicago guy for you. Thank you so much for that.
Midwestern Hospitality. The lawyers are going to be furious, but the lawyers be damned. Growing Pains, Growing Belushi. Jim, I'm watching the show last night. I'm watching season 2, episode 1. It premieres January 19, 10 p.m. Discovery. It's so fun, so crazy. It's a little Survivor, a little British Bake Off, just a little bit of Gilligan's Island. It's got everything. I loved it. What's it like making it?
Thank you. Yeah, it's edutainment, I call it. Yeah. We're educating people about the real cannabis, but it's also entertaining. We're very funny. My cousin Chris is very funny. Danny Aykroyd's in it. I mean, we got a lot going on.
It's amazingly funny. And when these shows work, it's when they have the great characters and the great setting. The farm is obvious. The guys you mentioned are unbelievable. And then you, I got to tell you, fascinating to watch you as someone who's watched you my whole life. You have, Jim, this is my question. You have this great life on paper from our perspective. You're famous and you're acting and you're making money and you're LA. Why the pivot to Washington to become a farmer? Why would you change that life like that?
Well, I just fell into it. I just kind of do what's in front of me. It's Oregon, by the way, Southern Oregon. Just kind of fell into it. You know, as an improvisational actor, you take what's in front of you and you heighten it. And I dove in the river one time here in Oregon at my friend's house down the river. And I came out of the river and I was like, I should get a place here. I bought the farm next to me. And I was like, well, what am I going to grow? And I was like, well, cannabis is legal. I said, oh, the new agriculture. Mm-hmm. And so I started this little kind of hobby grow, and it's turned into this big business. I don't know. I just kind of followed the plant, did what was in front of me, and I'm here. I don't know how I got here. I really don't.
It's really entertaining in the show because that's that sort of I don't know how I got here mentality really permeates. It feels like you've got this thing like, I guess I'm going to figure this out, and it looks so fun. Do you have fun doing it?
Oh, yeah, man. I'm loving it. First of all, I love the show. You know, it's just it's really fun. And it has depth to it and meaning and comedy, all the elements that I enjoy in entertainment. But it's you know, to be honest with you, I'm an entertainer. I've been an actor, comic actor, 40 years. And purpose has always been to what? Make people feel good. And cannabis makes people feel good. I'm not talking about getting high, although that makes you feel good too. I'm talking about PTSD, helping with Alzheimer's, calming them down, back pain, sleeplessness, hopelessness. Also the taste of food, the sound of music, the touch of your lover's hand, enlightenment. And it's all, I personally think it's a healthier choice in medicine to help with ailments in your life. Everybody knows somebody who's struggling. Everybody's struggling. Everybody's looking for medicine. It's a medicine society, the ads with aspirin, all the way to all the things they advertise on TV. And all I'm saying is this medicine is a safer medicine. That's more of a spiritual medicine. And you don't have to poison your body with pharmaceuticals or too much alcohol to take away that anxiety or that stress from PTSD. Or the seizures in a family. Every family, there's somebody struggling. And there's a choice here that's gentler. That's all. But it makes people feel good. So I'm in that. I'm still on purpose. And I'm still making movies. And I'm making television. So I'm having a good old time, man.
It shows in the show. And that stuff you're talking about with the marijuana, that's the edu of the edutainment, which I want to talk about more for here for question 4. I got a lot of questions about this. Question 4, Jim, we're moving on. You are 2 out of 3, albeit with some help on the sitcom theme song question. Question number 4, your category is legal tender. And this is multiple choice. You're in luck and you still have your lifeline. Jim, the modern U.S. dime, meaning the coin, the modern U.S. dime is made mostly of what metal? Is it A, copper, B, zinc, or C, nickel?
Well, it's not nickel.
Smart.
I know. It's not, well, it's not zinc. It's too expensive. But copper is expensive, too. But it's copper. Copper.
with the most confidence of any answer yet, Jim Belushi says copper is what comprises the modern dime. Is he correct? Is it copper? You're damn right it's copper, Jim. You're 3-for-4 right now. I'm asking you about dimes because the old expression dime bag marijuana goes back a long way. I want to pick it up right where we're talking about, the edutainment. There's a rapidly plummeting stigma about marijuana. What do you say to someone who grew up in the Nancy Reagan, just say no to dope, it's a drug, it's the devil's lettuce, I'm just going to stick to my martinis and beers, and I don't want to hear anything about this stuff, because that person is out there. What do you say to them?
I say that that person isn't out there anymore. Okay. I'm exposed to a hell of a demographic. I was at dinner with 6 people. The most conservative people you'd ever want to meet, my mother-in-law, her boyfriend, 2 older couples. They have Fox News blaring 24 hours a day, very loud.
Okay.
I was there at dinner. My wife was out of town. She thought I'd want to have something to eat. And I was scared to death of these very conservative people.
Okay.
I didn't want cannabis to come up. And my mother-in-law brings it up. All 6 of them turned to me and said, you know what? My hand hurts and I can't golf right now. I hear that there's something that can help with that. And I said, well, yeah, that's CBD. What is CBD? Well, it's a cannabinoid in the endocannabinoid system. You go, oh, you know, my shoulder hurts. Well, you probably want a little bit. Do I need to take, what is this one-to-one thing? As well as one THC to one. The one old woman goes, I just want to have fun and feel good. I said, well, then you get, I all of a sudden became a pharmacist. With the most, I only run into people who are curious about cannabis. 37 states are legal, you know, medically or recreationally. People want to know the alternative of how they can feel better, especially in these times, the anxiety, the fear, the unknowingness, the sadness. You know, they're getting tired of the alcohol and how it makes them feel. They want something light, easy. And I'm telling you, I don't run into a naysayer. I have not run into one person and say, you're doing this wrong. You know, not one.
Pleasure knows no politics is what we're finding out.
Well, not just pleasure, but the medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my father-in-law stepfather-in-law who passed away, at the end, they had him on morphine. I said, give him a candy bar with fusion in it. I said, he'll be able to talk to his family.
Yeah.
Hospice. This is great for hospice. They put him on that candy bar, and he was still out of pain. It was a mitigated pain. It wasn't an answer all. But he was able to open his eyes and talk to his family at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, my dad, they just morphined up and he was out. Mm-hmm. Dad.
Nope.
But this may help there. It helps in so many different places.
This is some of the stuff you learn on Growing Belushi Discovery, January 19, 10 p.m. In addition to all the entertainment. Jim, I have to address this. This is something that you've said, and I know that your buddy Dan Aykroyd has said. You've said that if your late brother John had used marijuana, he may still be here today. How is that?
Well, you know, you're a sports guy. You know, the reality of CTE.
Yeah.
John was the middle linebacker at Wheaton Central. 5'7", tough as nails. He had the most tackles. He was all state, all conference. He banged his head a lot. And back then, it was like, what's the matter? You get your bell rung? You know, they put you right back in. And senior year, there was a moment in my house where the TV was too loud. And I went in the other room, the kitchen. I said, John, turn it down. He was there. I went into the utility room and he was hanging on to that little cement sink where the laundry machine was. And he was shaking. Mm-hmm. And I thought he was doing a gag and he fell. And I went, come on, John, you know, turn the TV down.
Yeah.
And I went, Mom, boom, ambulance. Pulling the tongue out of the mouth, totally seizured, spinal taps, x-rays. They could never figure it out. So I believe my brother was suffering from CTE himself. And I believe a lot of the, I'm not minimizing him as an addict, but a lot of the usage had to do with that. And I think if he just stayed with the pot, I think he'd still be alive today. And because I don't know how much cannabis would help CTE, but I just believe if he stayed with the pot, he'd be okay.
I didn't know that about your brother. I don't think enough people do. I think the cursory explanation is, he was into drugs, party guy, Hollywood party guy. I had no idea.
The part of the culture at that time was party. Mm-hmm. It was safe. You know, sure. Pablo Escobar came in and gave the United States this party drug. And it was, you were unhip if you weren't doing cocaine back then. So it was culture too. He was leading the world with it, with Saturday Night Live, making those cocaine jokes and the donut, but in commenting on the culture. And I think he got caught up in that culture too. But I think the usage had to do with more of a medical situation. It's my opinion only.
Well, look, you were the only one who was in there when he's by the cement sink. I think you're entitled to that opinion, Jim. You know, that was fascinating. Thank you for sharing that. I know it's very personal, and I love the show. I really do. Everybody watch Growing Belushi. Do you remember January 19th, season 2? It's 10 p.m. on Discovery. Meanwhile, Jim Belushi, we have so much more to cover. We're going to move up. 3 out of 4. Question number 5. This is going to be fun for you. Everybody loves this category. This is simple. Name the movie. I'm going to play a simple clip for you from a movie, major motion picture. I would imagine you've probably seen it. It's going to be about 20 seconds long, Jim. All you have to do is tell me the name of the movie, and you go for a red hot 4 out of 5. Jim Belushi, name this movie.
Vincent. Dearest Vincent, I know you don't know who I am, but believe me, I came halfway across the world.
I got another 6 hours to pay the money back. And tell the Klain brothers that harassing a man who's already in the slammer is beneath even them, all right?
I don't know any Klain brothers. I'm your brother, Julius.
What do you think?
That's Arnold for sure. Mm-hmm.
Definitely Arnold. You can't mistake that voice.
It's not the movie I did with him. That dialogue does not sound familiar. Vincent. Oh, that is. That's Red Heat.
What do you think? Did you recognize the other voice? The other voice is an iconic actor that has been around for years. Talking about it. I'm your brother.
Vincent. See?
I like Belushi. I'm trying to help him so much. Way too much. I should just shut up. Vincent, I'm your brother. Now, what movie is that?
Oh, yeah. The brother, Twins.
That's it. We did it, Jim. We're 4 out of 5. Oh, my gosh.
Danny. Yeah.
Danny. All right. So, Jim, do you remember the first time you ever met Arnold?
Yes. I met him on the set in Chicago. And the first thing he said to me was, "You're too skinny. You're supposed to be a chubby Chicago cop." And I was, you know, I was like trying to be a movie star. I was working out, getting this shit going. And so every day, anytime I walked by his trailer, he would bring me in to sit down. He'd have Haagen-Dazs ice cream and cookies. And I'd watch him eat it. And he'd go, come on. Well, he was doing, you know, that exercise bike every day for an hour. He burned off all that sugar. Me, he fattened up. I gained 10 pounds on that damn movie from Arnold. Arnold gets what he wants.
They always say about him that when you meet him, he has this otherworldly charisma and presence in the room and this magnetism. Is that all? Did you feel that, or was that all overrated? Like, what was the Arnold experience over time?
You know, one of those times I was sitting in the trailer after we were eating ice cream and cookies. I remember walking out with my friend Joe, and I said, "This guy's going to be a senator one day." And that was in 87, 88, mm-hmm. before he had any political aspiration. I mean, he Arnold Schwarzenegger is one of the smartest men I know. Great sense of humor, very fair, very funny, and by the way, very generous. Mm. Not just money-wise, but with his heart. I was getting married at the time. He sat with me, gave me beautiful advice. He gave me great advice about doing publicity. Mm. He was, I mean, I can tell you a story if you have the time. But
tell me,
real.
Jim. Go for it. It's Arnold. We love it.
Well, we were doing a live interview, a CBS Morning Live or Today show for Red Heat from the set. And they said to him, what's it like working with Jim Belushi, you know? Oh, Jim, he's an improviser. He's so funny. He makes up stuff all the time. There's a scene at the end of the movie where we're driving the bus. I'm driving and he's cracking me up and I turn the bus and we hit six cars and knocked over some parking meters. Oh my God, he's so funny. And they turned to me and they go, yeah. And I went, yeah, he made it all up.
This is all BS.
All he wanted to do is get to the action scene to discuss the action. He goes, Jim, you know, you're a Midwest nice guy. You want to answer people's questions in an honest way. He goes, no, they don't want to hear that. He goes, ever since the Kennedys passed, there's been no royalty in America. Mm-hmm. You know, like in England, they have their queens.
Yeah.
Now celebrities, actors are the royalty. And people want to hear that you are living a royal life. You know, and I go, he goes, give me a question. Give me the toughest question. And I said, here's the worst question I get, Arnold.
Okay.
They always change their voice when they ask me this question. They go, okay. Jim, do you miss your brother, John? I said, I hate that goddamn question, Arnold. He goes, ask me. I go, Arnold, or Jim, do you miss your brother, John? He goes, this is his answer. Miss him? Do I miss him? You know what he's missing? There's a scene in this movie that he would really love. It's the police cars. We're chasing the bad guy, right? Now we're in the big bus. The police cars are not. Now we're in the movie.
Amazing. That's amazing.
Oh, no. By the way, that's just one. I mean, I can give you about six others that he gave me. He's just he's an amazing man. Amazing, amazing man. I love him.
That's so great. I'm so glad to hear that. I've never met him before, but I have that kind of a fear of missing, you know, meeting my hero. But I know you've spent a lot of time around him.
He's very kind. You meet him, he will turn and look you right in the eye.
God, that's beautiful.
He will sense if you're nervous. And if he does sense that, he will make you feel comfortable within 10 seconds. I mean, he's just an amazing man.
That's so nice to hear. So are you, Jim. We are 4 out of 5. We're cruising. We're going to pick up speed here. Question number 6. Jim, do you miss your brother? No, it's not that. Question number 6.
What? He's missing Joey Belushi. His name is in the title. You should see it. I got the Blues Brothers weed. He would love it.
I know. He really would. That's the Arnold. It all comes back to the project. Question number 6. You're going to love this one, too, because this is about another buddy of yours. Maybe. We'll see. Question number 6, the category is integrity, okay? Who came on this show, 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt, who came on this show, got a 6 out of 10, and claimed that I cheat? Is it A, Dan Aykroyd, B, Courtney Cox, or C, Guy Fieri? Who was it? You say Guy already.
Guy.
Why do you say Guy?
Well, Danny's too polite. Courtney's very polite. Yeah. Guy is like me, says whatever the hell he wants.
All right, he says Guy. I'm kind of surprised by the answer. What I'm going to do for you now is I'm going to play the guest on this show saying their score and that I cheat. Is it Aykroyd, Courtney Cox, or Guy? Play it.
I'm Guy Fieri, and I got 6 out of 10. It's Kyle Cheese.
Yeah. It's Guy. Of course it's Guy. God, that's so funny. And you're right on it. He's no filter.
He's a wonderful man. He's on our second episode.
I know. Yeah. I saw. That's why I'm asking. Guy comes by the farm. Tell me all about it, because I'm telling you this, Jim. I feel about Guy like you do about Arnold. Like I love him. I think he is a fantastic person. Tell me about him coming to the farm.
Well, first of all, he's one of the most generous men. I mean, he has a lot to give. And, you know, we all never had a lot to give except for maybe just kindness. But he's bumped up his kindness in so many ways. Philanthropically, I mean, he, I can't even say the word, but he does it very secretly. He gives a lot in to the community. But he gave to me. He came to the farm to shoot this episode with me. And he's just, I don't know what to say, except for he's very funny. And whatever you need, Belushi. And he was funny on the show. And we cooked infused ice cream. We cooked some Albanian dishes. And my cousin Chris, who's on the show, he's been in the restaurant business for 35 years. So Guy coming to the farm was, you know, a hero. And he was such a nervous kid, you know. I mean, he turned into a fanboy on me on the show. And I let him cook for Guy. So it's a very funny scene.
That's awesome. People in the service industry, the restaurant industry, they look at Guy like this combination of Mother Teresa and Elvis. Like, he is the man, and he saves them and he helps them. I love that he's part of the show. Everybody watch Guy with Jim on Growing Belushi on Discovery Channel. Jim, I'm going to push you for this because I'm thinking about different people that could come to the farm. Think of all the people, you know, all the public figures, all the celebrities, all the actors. If you had to just pick three to come to the farm, have a smoke, sit around, enjoy the marijuana, tell stories and play and say jokes, who are the three that you would pick in your whole Rolodex?
Well, I've already had two of them.
Who do you got?
Guy and Dan Aykroyd.
Okay. Great two. Who's in that third seat with those two legends?
Well, you know, he's passed John Candy, but I don't know who would be the third.
Arnold?
I don't think Arnold smokes, but I'd love for him to come.
Sure.
You know, I mean, I'd love for him to give me some business advice on the farm. He's business-wise. I'd love for Arnold to come up. Are you kidding? Oh, Jim, I just stopped by. I don't know who'd be the third one. Leo DiCaprio?
That's it. I love Leo. All right, so Aykroyd, Guy Fieri, and DiCaprio?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great crew.
Yeah.
All right, we got to arrange that. That's going to be Growing Belushi Season 3.
I've hung out with him a little bit, and he's a great hang.
Yeah? Is that right?
Yeah.
Because he's so reclusive. Is it just cool out at a party or something?
No, I don't see him as reclusive. Well, maybe he is, but, you know, he's very gentle. And we had a very nice conversation. He's just a guy. I mean, he's just a guy, man. Just his business. He's a hell of an actor, man.
Oh, my God, he is. And we started the first question of this little conversation was about him fighting a bear. And we got all the way here. You're 5 out of 6. You just passed fellow actor Bill Pullman. You're doing great. All kinds of other.
Bill.
Dude, Bill's a great guy. He was on the show. He got a 5.
No shit. I love Bill, man. You see that shit, John?
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah.
He is so good in the center, man. I watch him and I giggle. I'm going, Bill, great move. Bill. Jesus. How did you make a whole scene out of that one line? Bill, you're killing me.
Great actor, really nice guy, likes the outdoors like you do. Like, maybe Bill Pullman should be part of that group with that's him. Bill, you got to come up. All right, so here we go. You got that one right. Question number 7. We only have 4 left, so I'm going to finish this up, Jim. Everybody watch Growing Belushi, for God's sake. It's so much fun. Question number 7, your category, Jim, is rap. Okay, rap. Here is your question. Following his release from prison in 1995, what rapper signed with Death Row Records?
Did Tupac do time?
I handle the question, Jim. You're responsible for the answers here, my friend.
Right, no, Tupac had passed already. No, he... Okay, let me get Tupac out of my mind.
Okay.
Let me go to my lifeline.
All right, bring him in. This is young Richie Bozek. Richie comes from the California area. Richie, say hello to Jim Belushi.
Jim, how you doing? It's great to meet you.
How are you, man?
Doing well. I'm doing well.
you got your Google in front of you. Be Google this.
All right, Richie is highly incentivized here, Jim, because I really think that the care package you could send to him from Belushi Farms, he would probably really enjoy. So 30 seconds, guys. You have on the clock. Again, following his release from prison in 1995, what rapper signed with Death Row Records? Go ahead, guys.
Jim, my first thought was Tupac, too. I think you're on the right track.
Tupac?
Yeah, I was going Tupac. What?
Did he do time, Tupac? I know he got thrown in once in a while. He made a joke with me one time. He made bail in order to loop a movie. So, all right, I'll go with Tupac.
Right. Yeah, I feel
Rich,
good
you feel
that.
Good about Tupac?
Yeah, I feel pretty good about that.
All right, Bozek and Belushi say Tupac Shakur signed with Death Row Records after his release from prison in 1995. Are they correct?
Yeah.
Tupac.
Tupac.
Jim, you want to thank Richie?
Thank you, Richie.
It was my honor.
Yeah.
Right. Richie's looking for some of that Blues Brothers stuff.
Yeah.
You're 6 out of 7. You just passed Minnesota Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins, which is great. And we're talking about Tupac.
I loved.
Okay, let's get into this. Because you were in a movie with him called Gang Related. You're the two leads. I asked you the question about Arnold when you first met him, what you thought. What did you first think when you met Tupac?
We had a fight.
Really?
Yep. He came late. He came late to the table read. And we went into the producer's room. The producer, director, me and Tupac. And we're going to start talking. And I jumped all over him for being late. And he got all defensive and he started going, I couldn't find a parking spot. And in my mind, it was like, yeah, this place was weird. I couldn't find one either, but I didn't give in. And I said, well, then you leave early. You know, I want a professional. I want a guy who comes in with his lines. This is not a good sign. I don't want you coming with all your buddies smoking, you know, pot. You know, I want a real fucking. Oh my God, he got up on his feet, and we were street talking real fast, right? And I was going, I'm a Chicago kid. They ain't gonna push me out, right? So we were going face to face, yelling, right? And I said, I don't think you have the commitment for a movie like this. And he goes, commitment, commitment. I made bail to loop my last movie, and I laughed. He won because he got me to laugh hard. Oh, he laughed. We hugged. We were a married couple to the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah.
We had the he was like, we were both musicians, right? So when we did a scene, we never talked about it. I would come in hot like I'm doing a lead guitar, and he was like a bass line filling it, right? Then we'd do the second take, and I'd come in low like a bass. And he would rise up. And then we started finding this jam. And so acting-wise, the scenes were so funny. We were jamming musically. We had musical rhythms, you know?
Damn.
He was a joy.
It's so great to hear again and to hear that he was that talented on set.
I'm so sad that he's gone. Uh-huh. Not for his family and his friends, but for him. He was on the road to being one hell of an actor, man. I mean, he was really focused. He was really good. By the way, he went to the high school of performing arts. I mean, this guy was a trained guy. So he was straight up pro, had his lines, was on time. And we talked music. He was not familiar with Frank Sinatra. I brought in the Frank Sinatra CD of the Golden Years, and he was just blown away. And then, I had done a rap on Saturday Night Live. I said, I was rapping before you were even, you know, in kindergarten, man. And so I did my white guy rap for him, and he laughed. We started talking about doing a rap with Fly Me to the Moon, not because he just loved that song. And we worked on it, and he finally said, you know what? This is too melodically perfect to break into. You know, he loved Frank. He never really studied Frank until that moment. So we did music, we did acting, you know, we were friendly, you know.
It's a massive shame, but especially to hear you talk about how much you thought of him as an actor and as a human being, like it would have been massive.
Yeah, terrific. He was a terrific artist.
He really was. I can tell you love the guy. And thanks for sharing that with me. You're doing amazingly well, Jim. 6 out of 7. Here we go. Question number 8. You're a singer. You're a musician. You're going to love this. This category is called Finish the Lyric. I'm going to play for you a popular piece of music, pop song. You're going to hear the lyricist doing his thing, singing, going on. It's going to stop at a dime right before the chorus. When it stops, Mr. Belushi, if you please, sing the chorus for us. Here we go. Get ready, Jim. Crank it up. I think you're going to know this song. I think you are. Finish this lyric.
All I wish is to be alone. Stay away. Don't you invade my home. Best off if you hang outside. Don't come in. I'll only run and hide.
Run. Yeah, yeah. That, you got it. You're almost there.
Never let me be alone.
You want to hear it again, Jim?
Yeah, yeah.
Hit him again, and it's right when it stops, there's this huge sweeping chorus that comes. Ready? Hit him again with it.
All I wish is to be alone. Stay away. Don't you invade my home. Best off if you hang outside. Don't come in. I'll only.
I'm gonna. It's on a beat, it's on a beat. It's just like a Sting song, right?
It's that era. What is the chorus? I know you know the song. I know you do. I'll only run and hide. Chorus. I can't give it to you. Jim, you know the song. You're going to kick yourself. You heard it a million times.
I don't know. Give it
all
to
right,
me.
All right, here we go. So after the verse, hit me with the chorus. Go.
Who can it be now? Who can it be now?
Jim, you don't know this.
Yeah, I do remember it.
Who Can It Be Now by Men at Work.
And it worked! God, right. Night Live with me. Jesus Christ.
Okay. See, that's why your memory is so razor sharp. I'm asking you about Men at Work because October 22nd, 1983, the host of Saturday Night Live was John Candy. The musical guest was Men at Work, and it was the premiere debut episode of Young Jim Belushi on SNL. Do you remember that night?
Yeah, I remember. The thing that I remember the most about that night was I got a lot of pressure not to do that show because John had done it.
Right.
And I was like, I'm doing it. What do you mean, man? I'm an actor. I'm a Second City actor. All these people on the show, they're most of them from Second City. They created this venue for our style of humor. I'm a fan. Who wouldn't want to be on the show? I'm going to turn it down. No, I'm going to do it. Oh, you're going to get beat up. You're going to get killed. They're going to kill you. Nah, let them kill me. I don't care. I'm going to do this show. And I'm nervous. And Monday, the host comes in, and it's John Candy, the original joy boy, John Candy. I love that man with all my body. So I see Johnny, what do you want to do? What do you want to do on the show, Jimmy?
Yeah.
I go, John, you're the host. You know, we're here to service you. What do you want to do? And he goes, Jimmy, this is your first show on Saturday Night Live. What do you want to do? And I said, well, I'd like to do Johnny LaRue. And we commenced with a couple other writers, sat in a room for 2 days. And wrote, and it's the only time I ever peed in my pants laughing so hard. And I did 6 scenes on that show that week because of John Candy. And he cared for me and loved me and supported me through that hardest week ever. Mm. He was a real brother, not just there, but in many other situations. But he was something. And I was like, come on, let's get some meeting. Oh, Jimmy, I'm on a diet. Well, I'm not on a diet. I'm on a new lifestyle. Right. He was always dieting, you know? And I was like, John, he used to order rum and Diet Coke.
Okay.
I go, Johnny, you really think you're going to save calories having the Diet Coke with all that rum? Just get the damn Coke. Oh, Jimmy, I...
God, it's the only time, after all you've been through, the only time you've peed your pants was that week with Johnny. Yeah, no, Candy.
We were in that room, and we couldn't keep a hold of him because he would go from character to character. Right. On a roll, and me and the three other writers in there, I was just laughing so hard. I said, wait, let's hold on to that. Let's do that one. Let's go. That. And then he'd go off into another. Oh, he was piss at, literally piss pants funny.
God, that's so good.
I love Jim.
Jim, you're the best. The way that you talk about these people, the Tupac or Arnold or John, it makes me want to meet them so badly. And
well, and I've really been, I'm nice to people, and they're nice to me. We mirror each other, you know. But those gentlemen are extremely talented, and they're performers, so they have open hearts. Mm-hmm. I have an open heart, and so they're very open and beautiful to me, and I'm grateful, especially Johnny and Danny Aykroyd. Yeah. You know, when my brother passed, those are the only two people that came up to me at the funeral and said, I'm sorry for your loss, and if you need anything, we're here. And, you know, everybody says that, but no, those two swept in the coming months and year.
Did they?
And put their arm around me and pulled me in. They were loyal to my brother because they took care of me. And Danny Aykroyd put me in the Blues Brothers. And when he put me in the Blues Brothers, I didn't want to do it. And he said, you're being silly. And I said, well, if you don't think it's weird, then I don't know why I'm thinking it's weird. Ah, absolutely, Jimmy. We're going to keep the spirit of the Blues Brothers and all these great musicians alive. We're going to keep the spirit of Jake Blues alive. We're going to call you Brother Z, not Jake, Brother Z. You're the long lost brother who lost in Albania that I found who doesn't speak English. He's creating this thing. But it was like he took a saw to my chest, opened it up, took my heart out, and massaged it with this music. Mm. And it was a life changer. And that was Danny and Johnny, the same kind of thing. They really cared for me and loved me, and I loved them so deeply.
You've got to know some really cool people. And Dan Aykroyd's awesome on Growing Belushi. He plays this sort of ominous, like intimidating. He's going to bust our balls, and he's going to take away the Blues Brothers. It's a great role for him, and the way he shows up, it's so good. Please watch. Jim, you have two questions left. I want you to get both of them. Let's do this quickly. Question number 9, all right? Your category, again, is baseball. Here you go, Jim Belushi. Question number 9. Mr. Belvedere star Bob Uecker is the voice of what National League baseball team?
Oh, Uecker was on the he was Detroit. Wasn't he Detroit?
Don't know.
Uecker was...
Bob Uecker.
I thought he was Detroit. But he could have moved.
In the movie Major League, it's the Indians, but that's a movie. In real life, what National League team is he the voice of?
Oh, well, Detroit is not a National League team, so that cuts
you. That I can help you with that. National League, decades, Bob Uecker. What do you think?
St. Louis? It's the Midwest. It's either St. Louis or Milwaukee. It's not the Dodgers. Is he the Dodger?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
That'd be Vin Scully.
Yes, Vince. That's Vince.
What do you think, Jim?
It wasn't the Sox.
No.
I got to go with St. Louis or Milwaukee.
Which one is it?
It's got to be, Milwaukee Braves are. Seems kind of. St. Louis.
He says St. Louis. Unfortunately, Jim, it's Milwaukee. That's not correct. Oh, that was heartbreaking. It's Milwaukee. It's Milwaukee. Milwaukee. It's the Brewers. Jim, I'm asking you about the Brewers because the Brewers are the brew crew, and there's people who make their own beer at home, and it's called home brewing your beer, and they do it in their garage and everything. There's going to be people who watch Growing Belushi, and they're going to say, I want to do what Belushi does. I want to grow marijuana. I want to do it. I want to get into the business. I want to do. What would you tell them? What would be your advice to them? The people listening to this being like, I want to grow weed.
Well, on the show, we actually show how to grow it at home. Mm-hmm. Because most states, you can grow 6 plants for yourself. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of guide you through that. Mm. And give you a store, a Grow Generation, which it's like the Ace Hardware of cannabis. Yes. But I would not recommend getting into the business. It's a very difficult business. The margins are very thin at this point because of the taxation. If you want to get into it through the stock market. Mm. There's companies there that are very, very viable and will be around for a long time. They'll break through all the different highs and lows. But I would say stay out of it.
Okay. I love that advice because it's not all clouds and unicorns and everything's going to be great. It's very practical.
Oh, no. Listen, last year was my best year and I broke even. And I'm so happy.
That's great. Okay. You broke even and you're happy. All right. Well, Jim, you've done unbelievably better than breaking even on this show. As we get to our last question, you're 6 out of 9. I'd like you to get it. Every question number 10 for every contestant since we started this show is an essay question where I find an opinion of yours or a thought, and I'm not so sure about it. So I offer you the floor for whatever time you want to explain it. And I have one that you volunteered to the world. Question number 10, Jim Belushi's essay, the star of Growing Belushi. Jim, you once asked on Twitter, where people come out, should you wash new clothes before you wear them? What is your answer to this? And advise the people and advise me.
Well, I know what my wife would say. She washed everything before we touch it, you know. I'm like, no way, it's fine. They bleed. They have all kinds of specs that they have to abide by before they put it in the package. You can put it right on. Absolutely.
Right on. No wash, no, not even run some water over it, right off the rack.
No, I mean, run some water over the lettuce you buy. You know, the fruits. But no, sure, take it right out of the boom, put it on, take the pins out, let's go.
Couldn't be more right. Wash your apples, but put those polo shirts right on. That is a correct answer. That is another point. And Jim Belushi, you have finished the 10 questions with a 7 out of 10. How's it feel?
Well, how about 7.5 with the euchre one? I mean, I had a
The game officially starts when the contestant bitches about their score. And so we did it. Guess what? 7 out of 10 or 7.5 beats Aaron Rodgers. You finally, the Bears beat the Packers.
Finally! I want the half point.
Jim, last order of business. Every single person does this. What I need from you before you go is what we call a call out. I want you to think of some public figure in your life that you know that would come into this dojo here and try to beat your 7 out of 10. Who do you think would be good in this environment? Anybody you want.
Oh, Rob Lowe would be awesome.
Rob Lowe, talk to the camera. Tell him.
Hey, Rob, you should do this show, man. This is right up your alley, man. You'll have a good time. You're a good time. This guy's a great time, man. You should do it. And you probably 8 out of 10. You're pretty smart.
Okay. It's been thrown down. Rob Lowe, come in and go against Miss Man, Mr. Belushi. He says he has always been in the business of making people happy. You've done it on screen. You do it in your farm. You did it here at Jim. I mean this, like, you are a joy to talk to. I love the show.
I feel like, you know, you're hanging out on my porch this afternoon.
I would love to hang out on your porch.
River.
Yeah, it's absolutely nice. Beautiful.
Thank you.
Jim, you're the best. Thank you very, very much to the dog, to the farm, to everybody. You got a 7 out of 10. That is Jim Belushi, an absolute legend. Everybody watch Growing Belushi, season 2, January 19th, 10 p.m. on Discovery Channel. And we will see you next time on 10 Questions. This episode of 10 Questions was produced by Arjuna Ramgopal, Richie Bozek, and Isaiah Blakely.
This episode is brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. As a ruthless king builds his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.